now sing on that beautiful shore. The melodious song of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more. God has sighed for the blessing of rest, and the sweet by and by we shall meet on that beautiful shore. And the
to you all. We will meet one day on that beautiful shore. Psalms 139 verses 13 through 16. It says, "For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." Oof. It says, God, the God of all knowledge and constant presence, had a care and a concern to personally form a child in his mother's womb. And it speaks of the fact that God knew David from before his birth as a child conceived and developing in the womb. Father, we thank you. Father, you formed us, you knew us from before the ever, I mean from the foundation of the earth, from, you know things from the end, you know things from the beginning, Father God. There's nothing that you don't know. And I thank you, Lord, for forming us and making us and knowing our days and being present, Father, in those times when we were formed in that womb. You did the work. Wow, it's amazing. Amazing to think about that. Father, today we're gathered together here to worship you, to receive from you, to praise you, Father God. Lord, we thank you for your mercy, your grace, your kindness. It endures forever, Father. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Page 340 in the gray hymnal, page 340, "Abideth My Soul."
A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. Hiding my soul in the cleft of the rock.
Welcome this morning, church, to the throne of God, family, sermon audio friends, and Facebook family. It's good to have you with us. We want to go over a few things that are in our bulletin. We're going to have next week on will be our 4th of July Sunday. I know it's the next day is going to be the 4th of July, but come and worship. A week after that will be July the 10th, and we're going to have the Gideons participating in our 10:45 service. Then the week after that will be the 17th, and we'll be having in the evening service our annual business meeting at 6:30 p.m. That's that evening. If you're wanting to be aware, you need to kind of get a bulletin and look. There's a lot of things coming up in July. We want to thank God for our Vacation Bible School and the marvelous things that are happening there. There was a young girl who's possibly going to be baptized. Thank you, God. And we want to thank God for that. We have in here in the bulletin about August the 7th at the 10:45. We will be having that morning, Brother Craig Abler will be coming to preach, and we will be having a potluck meal afterwards that day after the morning services. I think that's about everything that's going on in here. If I'm missing something, somebody will chase me down. There's some good stuff in the bulletin. Let's see, are there any guests or visitors in our congregation? Any guests or visitors? You all help me as I'm looking around. Are there any anniversaries or birthdays this morning? Any anniversaries or birthdays? Yes. Wow, we need to sing happy birthday for that. Amen. 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 Thank you, God, for the plans that you have for that baby. And thank you, God, for the plans you have for every one of us. Amen. So stand up. So we're going to sing happy birthday to that baby. Happy birthday to you. Oh, God will not do. Born again in Christ Jesus. Happy birthday to you. Do you know what the name of that baby is going to be yet? Kennedy. Wow, what a name. Kennedy Lane. What a marvelous thing. Let's see, are you going to sing another song? Have I touched everything that you can think of? Oh, one more thing. Either side on the out, as you're going out, just right there where the pews face one another, we have sample ballots that you should be aware of so that you can go and vote on Tuesday unless you have voted early. Has anybody voted early? I have. So I've got, that's how I went down and got these sample ballots. They're on either side back there, so you can pick them up. One will have blue on the top. That is for the Democrats to vote on, and the independents. If you're an independent, you get to vote with the Democrats. On the other side of it is with red on the top. That'll be for the Republicans. And then there is one that has to do with our municipal election that is going on for our council members, the city council members, and things that you all need to be aware of. You can say, well, I'll tell you this. I hate going in and not have done my homework to figure out what I'm voting about, because I'm going, wow, what do I do here? I don't know. You have 2 days. Pick this up, study it, and start asking people. Tell me about this person, that person, something else. That way you can get something done. And then go vote saying, God, I'm doing the best I can. But I believe that you're going to do even better, because if we do not vote, we should not ask God for anything, and we shouldn't complain. Because if we don't have an opportunity to express faith in voting, and we do, then we don't have any right to complain. Now then, go ahead and bring us to the throne of God again.
Page 320. The title of this is Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Let's do that. Father, help us to forget about ourselves just now. Lord, help us to concentrate on You. Oh, so are You. Song at this time from two very young men in our congregation. Amen. So get on up here, guys.
We're ready. I'm glad morning when this life is over. To a home on God's celestial shore, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away
in the morning.
When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Yeah, when I die, hallelujah, by and by,
Brother Ron, for this these words of encouragement that give us a hope of one day we're going to fly away and join our Lord in the sky and go on and be with Him and live forever in eternity with Him. What a blessing that is, and what it is to look forward to something of that magnitude that will one day happen. Praise God. And so welcome this morning. I'm so glad that you're here to join us in worship. So glad that you have come to enter into the courts of our Lord with praise, thanksgiving in your heart. And it is so good. So good to see you here this morning. And we're here for a purpose. That is to worship. And so we say welcome. Welcome to each one of you. And we're glad that you have decided to join us here today. So I want to say this morning, as we begin this message that I am going to share with you, that this is part one of a message entitled Forgiveness. Part one of a message entitled Forgiveness. Now, as I have been meditating on this for some time, I was not sure when I would be able to enter into it and to begin to share it with you. And so I finally felt like now's the time. It must be something we all need, because God's Word is ordered for us at a time of need. And yeah, we can take it for what it says. We can stand on it as a sure rock and foundation. And I'll tell you this, His Word will take us on to heaven by giving heed to His Word and being doers of His Word and not hearers only. It's one thing to hear it, but it's another thing to be a doer of what He says, to put action with what we hear and what we learn. We need to be doers of God's Word. So this will be part one of a message entitled Forgiveness. And this is I'm going to begin in saying that there is a theme for this series on forgiveness, and the theme of this series is really based on Matthew 6:12. Forgive as we forgive. In other words, forgive as we forgive. Think about it. There's something there about the part we play in all of this. You can say, you know, forgiveness is good, and we understand it to be good, but we need to take it to heart and know that we need to get involved in forgiveness. And I'll tell you a little bit more about it as we enter into the message this morning. But so good to have you here, Facebook friends and sermon audio and church. We're glad to see you today. And I am excited about beginning this series. And I'm going to begin reading in the book of Luke chapter 11. And I'm going to read four verses there, Luke 11, 1 through 4. And please follow me in the reading of the Word of God. So I'm going to ask you, please stand in reverence to God's Word. I ask you to stand because God's Word is holy. It is holy unto us, His people. And so we reverence the Word of God in that manner, because we serve a holy God. So beginning in Luke chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day our daily bread. And then verse 4, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Join me in prayer. Father, I thank you for your written word that is unto us life and health to all our flesh. Father, I thank you for what a wise man named Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. He said, My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Father, I thank you for those words that remind me so much that your word is life and it is health to our flesh. And Father, we give attention to it this morning. Pour out, O God, your direction and your Holy Spirit upon us as we enter into these thoughts today. We ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. So glad you're here. Welcome to any visitors that we have here. So good to see you today and joining in with us in prayer. So Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples was moved by his praying. It does not tell us who it was. I would tend to think it probably was Peter, but I don't know. It doesn't say. And it doesn't really tell us where this is. Jesus was praying in a certain place. It doesn't tell us that. But as one of his disciples was moved by his praying, he said to him, he said, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. Well, it's not clear how John taught his disciples. I began to look for that and research that, and it really isn't clear how he taught his disciples. I'm talking about John the Baptist, but I'll tell you, John the Baptist was about repentance. So you kind of think that somehow John the Baptist would enter into that of repentance, or talking about repentance. Anyhow, the emphasis here is on the need to have a prayer life. And so I ask you this morning, do you have an active prayer life? An active prayer life is so, so very important. In Luke 18:1, we read where Jesus said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Always to pray and not to faint. So Jesus was concerned that his followers pray continually in order to accomplish God's will in their lives. There's something about prayer life that pushes us in a way of enabling, God enabling, us enabling, I should say, God to do what he wants us to do, or to accomplish in our lives what he wants to accomplish. And so we learn in Luke 18, he was talking about a parable. And in that parable, he tells about the persistent widow who persevered in prayer. And so that was important, to focus on prayer and how to persevere. But this prayer mentioned here in Luke 11 is also mentioned in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. In these two places of Scripture, we find that we can refer to these verses as the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. But this message that I'm talking about is about forgiveness. And before I look into two verses, one in each book, Matthew and in Luke, I want to tell you that Jesus is really, in these two portions of Scripture, is talking about a model prayer. Now, when When we say model prayer, it's something you can model after. It's something you can read and understand in this model that it's good for you to get involved and pray in the same way. In other words, a prayer we can pray often and know that Jesus is pleased with our prayer as we pray. A model prayer. So in Luke chapter 11, verse 4, Jesus said, "Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us." I think really Matthew chapter 6 says clearly what I want you to know this morning on the line of forgiveness. Very clearly, Matthew chapter 6 says clearly what I want you to know. Verse 12, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." In other words, what is he saying? The idea is to forgive as we have been forgiven. Forgive as we have forgiven. Now, I want you to note this, that when we realize that we have been forgiven of the filth of sin, then in that same spirit of forgiveness, we must forgive. Think of it. When you recognize really where you were in life when you needed a Savior, when you recognize your need for more than you had and forgiveness yourself, and you receive forgiveness. I'll never forget, as a young man, I was in a prayer meeting, and that particular evening, I was so moved by the prayers of people around me. I looked around, and I observed such sincerity that I hadn't really witnessed before in the church that I had gone to, and it just wasn't that obvious, I should say. But I was there as a visitor, and I looked and I observed sincerity and heartfelt prayer. And I even saw a few tears. And I was so moved, and I'm thinking these people are serious about prayer. And it really got a hold of me because, you see, in my life, I hadn't been very serious about prayer. And so as I saw the sincerity and the dedication and the devotion in people as I observed them, I could not help but say, you know, I need what they got. There's something they have I don't have. And would you believe that very evening the Holy Spirit began to work on me and convict me and say, "Tom, you don't have that salvation that is mentioned in the Scripture. You don't have it. And that's something you need." And I began to say, "Yes, I do." And that evening I surrendered my heart to Jesus Christ. And I was changed forever and forever. But what I remember about it so well is when I left that place, it was like I was walking just about 2 or 3 feet above the ground, because I felt the load of sin had lightened my steps and lightened and made my way light. And I just felt I was floating along. When sin is released and we're changed, there's something about the forgiveness of sin and the change in our heart that brings us into fellowship and goodness with our Lord Jesus Christ. Now Jesus said in Matthew 6:14, if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Then in verse 15, he says, "But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." What is he saying? He is saying that forgiveness is not an option. Understand that. Understand that, would you please? That forgiveness is not an option. In other words, we must forgive. We must forgive. And we must actually understand that we do not have the luxury of holding on to our bitternesses, the bitterness we have toward others. We can't hold on to those things. I came across this that was posted recently on Facebook, and I have to tell you, it really moved me, and I want to share it with you. A friend posted this, and as I read it, it moved me. Here's what it said. "It took me a long time to understand what it means to forgive someone. I always wondered how I could forgive someone who chose to hurt me." Don't you find it hard to forgive somebody that wants to hurt you? And I wonder, have you ever recognized there are people that want to hurt you if they can do it? And so this person says, "I always wondered how I could forgive someone that has such a spirit, or that kind of spirit. But they went on to say, but after a lot of soul searching, I realized that forgiveness isn't about accepting or excusing their behavior. It's about letting go and preventing their behavior from destroying your heart. Preventing their behavior from destroying your heart. In other words, you can't hold on to bitterness toward others, and so we must do what? We must forgive. We must forgive. And so what I want you to see this morning, how important it is to forgive in the shadow of the cross. Now you say, by that forgiving in the shadow of the cross, what does that mean? Well, let me explain it to you. Once your eyes have been opened to see the seriousness of your sin and how offensive it is to God and against God, then the injuries which others have done to you appear really small in comparison to that. Think of it. In the shadow of the cross, forgiveness. And so you may say, well, Brother Harmon, you don't understand how I have been hurt. You don't understand how I have been injured. It was what was said that crushed me. What somebody spoke to me and hurt me. When I trusted, I was betrayed. And you know what? I can't trust anymore. Maybe you feel that way this morning. You don't trust people. You can't trust anymore because you've been betrayed. No, I don't understand, but I'll tell you, I know a God that loves you and that He does understand. 1 Peter 5:7 tells us to do something with the cares and the hurts that we have. And it says, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares on Him, for He careth for you. He cares about your hurts and your pains. He cares about what has happened. And so you might think, once you've been hurt, the idea comes to you, I just want to get even with somebody that said that. I can't think of anything else. I just want to even the score. Is that a right attitude? Absolutely not. And so when you get even, you know, yeah, there is a certain amount of relief perhaps from that. But think of this. Think of what Benjamin Franklin said. I came on this and I thought it's so true. This is what Benjamin Franklin said. He said, doing an injury puts you below your enemy. Revenging one makes you but even with him. So you have below and you have even. Get this. Forgiving it, forgiving the injury, forgiving the hurt, sets you above him. Sets you above him. So you see, forgiveness has an application in every bit of our lives and living. So situations arise in everyday living that we get caught up in so many things. Things that happen. Things that affect us. We get mad at a close friend. Begin to hold a grudge. A spouse disappoints us or betrays us. And shows no sign of being sorrowful about it. It's just done. An employer breaks a promise that they have made to us and takes advantage of us. Parents or caregivers abuse or mistreat us emotionally, physically, or financially. Maybe a spouse abandons us for another person. Think of that. That could even happen, and perhaps this happened to you. A friend slanders us or abuses our friendship, betrays our friendship. Think about that. That's hurtful. That gets right to the hurt of our heart. And so any one of these scenarios could affect us, but two things are clear. I want to give them to you. Two things are clear, and that is that we all need to forgive or be forgiven because we both sin and are sinned against. That's number one. Get that? We all need to forgive and be forgiven because we both sin and are sinned against. And number two, we will struggle with forgiveness because it always begins with pain. It begins with pain. I just don't want to go there anymore. I don't want to be around that person anymore. They caused me too much pain. I'm not going to go to that family gathering this time because the last time I did, someone there, a family member, said something to me that hurt me to the quick. You see, these are the kind of things we come up against in life and in living. But I'll tell you, you face it, you deal with it, it's painful. But what you have to understand, that an attitude needs to prevail in your life of forgiveness. You cannot carry those things around. They're too heavy. Think of this. You can't carry it around. And so, since forgiveness can be very painful, forgiving can be one of the most difficult things that you are called to do. One of the most difficult that you're called to do. So think of this. Forgiveness of sins through the grace of God and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ really is what lies at the very heart, at the very center of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It absolutely does. The blessing of God's forgiveness in Christ should grip the heart of every follower of Christ and understand that we have been forgiven at an enormous cost. What did it cost God? An enormous cost. It cost Him the best that He had. It cost Him the best that He had. And that was giving His only begotten Son to die on the cross, to leave the ivory palaces, to leave heaven, and then to go to a place called Calvary and to die. It cost God the best He had. I like what John 3:17 said. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. See, God was giving up His very best for you. God was giving up His very best for you because what did He have in mind? He had forgiveness in mind. He had forgiveness. You see, the world needed forgiveness for filthy sin that separated us from God. And so God had that in mind in giving His very best. That's what it cost Him. That's what is significant. So I ask you, could you be one that has been carrying unforgiveness around with you for a long time? For many years even. Could you be one that has had these things buried away or tucked away in the back of your mind, and it only takes a certain word or a certain expression by someone to bring that all back? And then we get into life in what is called rewind and replay. We bring it back and we recall it and we go right back through it in our mind and remember so well the pain that was caused. Well, I'll tell you, forgiveness lays it down. Forgiveness says no more. I don't want that anymore. And so, being hurt like we have. So what is forgiveness? Really, let's ask the question, what is forgiveness? Well, forgiveness is the act of forgiving. Number one, the act of forgiving. And it means to cease to feel resentment against an offender. To give it up. To cease to feel that against that offender. To give up resentment. And to do what? Then to offer pardon. It's not only something we focus on and think about, but then we offer pardon to the offender who has troubled us or bothered us. So I say to you, is forgiveness real? Can I take Scripture seriously regarding forgiveness? I'll tell you somebody that did. Martin Luther. Here's what Martin Luther said. Martin Luther wrestled deeply with his own sinfulness, and when he experienced God's grace, his life changed. And here's what he said. His life changed forever. He wrote, "Where there is the forgiveness of sins, there is life and blessedness." You know what he's talking about? Sin and forgiveness being that lifts that heavy load and weight off your life. And so that's what we have to lay down and turn loose of. And so Martin Luther recognized that. It's blessedness to be one that is forgiven. How good a feeling it is. Oh, I told you, as I left that prayer meeting that night, I was 2 or 3 feet above ground. I felt so light and I was so blessed because the weight of sin that had held me down for so long was no longer there. And I said, "Thanks be unto God, I'm forgiven." And I know the joy of sins forgiven. And today you, if you're here today, listening on Facebook Live, listening on sermon audio, this very service, you can find the joy of sins forgiven and the burden of sin lift off your life. It's something available to you. His grace and His mercy can find you if you will open your heart. So So the Bible speaks much about forgiveness, the forgiveness of God. Our God is a forgiving God. He is a forgiving God. In Exodus chapter 34, there are a couple of verses I'd like to tell you about here. Exodus 34, verse 6 and verse 7, where God is talking to Moses about himself. Do you wonder what God thinks about himself? You're going to see it right here in these two verses, because he's talking to Moses about himself in Exodus 34, 6 and 7. He said, "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful, gracious.'" He's saying this about himself. He's merciful, he's gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. And now look at verse 7. "Keeping mercy for thousands." And I like this part. It says, "Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that which by no means he would clear the guilty." But he is forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. That's what God says of himself. I am a God that forgives. I'm a God that pardons. I'm a God that forgives. So I tell you, then, you wonder, is forgiveness real? Absolutely. Absolutely it is, because we have a forgiving God. We have a forgiving God. Now, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 6 and 7, it gives us a wonderful promise. I want to mention that real quickly with you. Verse 6, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." And then verse 7, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will," what? "He will have mercy." Get this. "He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." He will abundantly pardon. Now, I came across this, and then I read what Charles Spurgeon said about this portion of Scripture. Here's what he said. He said, listen to these words. He says, he, God, will really pardon. The forgiveness is valid. Spurgeon went on to say, it is valid on earth and the court of conscience, and above in the court of heaven. He went on to say, the pardoned sinner is truly pardoned, and no one shall ever condemn him. His sin is not merely supposed to be gone. He said, it is gone. It is gone. It is not put a little way off from him, but as far as the east is from the west, Spurgeon went on to say, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. Think of that. So far. And so that's the kind of forgiveness that God offers. God is about forgiveness. If we're serving a God about forgiveness, then what does that come to? What comes to us about that? We have to be forgiving. We have to be forgiving. Now, in John Bunyan's classic book, and stay with me, I want to refer you to some thoughts in this classic book, John Bunyan's classic book, titled Pilgrim's Progress. Has anyone here ever read Pilgrim's Progress? Brother, yeah, amen. Amen. Pilgrim's Progress, and I want to point a little bit out to you about that in that book. And so John Bunyan there tells the story and presents it all as a dream which begins with a traveler dressed in rags. A traveler dressed in rags with a book in his hand. What did the book represent? The book represented the gospel. And then the traveler also had a burden on his back, which was a symbol of the guilt and the shame that he carried. And so as he went on to talk about this dream and this traveler, and so what has happened is that this traveler has heard God's news with the promise of a heavenly city. And so because that so moved the traveler, he sets out as a pilgrim for that city. Let me tell you, there are a lot of people out there that hear the good news, but do they ever change their direction? This man did. This young man did. And so he sets out for as a pilgrim for that city. And let me tell you what his name was. His name was Christian. And he makes his hard journey until he comes, get this, he's on his journey until he comes in sight of the cross. In sight of the cross, right there it is. He's on his journey until he comes to the sight of the cross. Then, in a beautiful passage, Bunyan describes a moment of divine forgiveness. A moment. Christian is entering into what is called divine forgiveness. Up this way did burdened Christian run, but not without great difficulties because of the load on his back. Moving along, he had a load on his back. He ran thus till he came to a place somewhat ascending, and upon that place stood a cross, and a little below, in the bottom, a sepulcher. So he goes on to say, and I saw in my dream that just as Christian came up to the cross, his burden was loosed from off his shoulders and fell from him, or fell off his back, and began to tumble and continued to do till it came to the mouth of the sepulcher, where it fell in, and I saw it no more. Then Christian, glad and lightsome, and said with a merry heart, he hath given me rest by his sorrow, and life by his death. Then he stood still a while and looked, and a look and wonder, for it was very surprising to him. This is the part I like about this. This was surprising to Christian, for it was very surprising to him that the sight of the cross should thus ease him of his burden. Let me tell you, the enemy of your soul doesn't want you ever to get the message that the sight of the cross and one look at the cross of Calvary will ease you of your burden of sin. It was surprising to Christian that he was eased of his burden. Then Christian gave, get this, he gave three leaps of joy and went on singing, thus far did I come laden with my sin, nor could aright ease the grief that I was in, till I came hither. What a place is this, blessed cross, blessed sepulcher, blessed rather the man that there was put to death for me. Let me tell you, forgiveness is all about the grace of God. So in this story, you see it as it unfolds in the life of Christian. Surprised that his glimpse of the cross would give him a message to such degree of the love of God. And so forgiveness then this morning is all about the grace of God. Note this. Christian said that it was simply to him that the sight of the cross should ease him of his burden. And so I say this morning, as we focus on the burden of sin in light of forgiveness, you have to understand that you're always offered opportunity to unload your burden. A burden of unforgiveness, a burden of sin, whatever it is, you're always invited to unload that burden at the cross, because it's in view of the cross that shows us a real picture of what forgiveness is all about. So we ought to forgive. Why? Because we stand in the shadow of the cross. What I'm saying by that is the cross stands and I'm in the shadow of the cross. So somebody offends and I'm still in the shadow of the cross. So when I'm offended, when I'm hurt, when I'm injured, I remember how I was forgiven at the cross of Calvary of my terrible sin. And then I say to that person that has injured me, that has trespassed against me, that has damaged me, that has hurt me, that has caused pain, I will forgive you in the same light as I was forgiven. I'll forgive you in the same way I was forgiven. And that's what we're being told. Forgive as we have been forgiven. That's the theme of what I'm talking about today in this message. Forgive as we have been forgiven. You say, well, the person that forgives the most or loves the most is perhaps forgiven of the most. I don't know that, but I'll tell you this, that forgiveness is always something that we must be about God. And in these messages on forgiveness, I'm going to point you to a God that's loving, that is a God of pardon, that is a God of forgiveness. And I want you to see how much importance that was to God, that you be forgiven. Here we were, lost and undone. No way to get out of our sin and the guilt of all of that. No way. And God said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to build a bridge. And there we are. He said, I've got a son, my only begotten son, and I'm going to give him to make a bridge from where you are in your sin to get to me, a holy God. And so he sent Jesus to die for you and I, and so he was giving us a pathway that we can follow to get to God and get things right and get restored and live with a holy God and live a life of separation and dedication to him. He made that possible through Jesus Christ. And so somebody hurts me, the accuser is out there. He's always out there to hurt us. Now I want you to think about this morning. Think about how important it is to take the burden of sin and take it and receive forgiveness of Jesus Christ to lift that burden from you. The cross is still there. The cross of Calvary. The opportunity is still there to get forgiveness for whatever you think that you have done. And you say, well, I've been forgiven of my sins for many, many years. I've been a Christian for 20, 15, 20, 30 years. That's well and good. But do you know that the enemy is always working to keep you, to accuse you, to get you upset, to get you out of sorts, to cause you to be unforgiving in whatever's been done to you? But I'll tell you, you can recognize that even though that happens, in the shadow of the cross, I'm going to continue to be about forgiveness myself, because in the shadow of the cross I stand. His blood covers my life, and that's how I'm new in Christ. And so I'm going to continue a way of forgiveness. It's not just something you do once in your life. It's a way of life. Forgiveness in your living and life, it's all about that. And so we have a God that wants us to practice forgiveness. Jesus said it. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I'll tell you. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those that have hurt us and caused us pain. That's a way of life for us. And so this morning, as I close out this message, in just what time I have, we must know that our forgiveness is possible because of the cross. That's because of the cross that we can forgive. We've been forgiven of much sin and offense. Therefore, we must turn loose of resentment toward those that have offended us. And what must we do? We must be proactive, and we must offer pardon to them. I can't forgive that person. They hurt me so long, and I don't even want to think about them. I don't want to even go. Let me tell you, you know, you think that is an answer to forgiveness? Just say, I don't want to think about it anymore. I don't even want to think about them anymore. Don't you realize that that's holding you back from being the person that you need to be? It's holding you back, and you then have to realize that you have to turn loose of resentment and hurts and pains of the offenses of people, and we must forgive as we have forgiven. I want to close it. I want to close this message before Brother Jimmy comes, and I want to close it with Matthew 6:15. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, get this. This is the words of Jesus. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Do you see? You have to forgive. It's almost like a quid pro quo. You know, you do this and I'll do this. It really is. It's somewhat like that. If you do this, I'll do this. He says, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will I forgive you your trespasses. So think about that this morning. Think about the forgiveness of the cross. Think about what was paid for you on the cross of Calvary. You're forgiven, but you have to be a forgiving person and live in forgiveness. And if you do, if you will, if you practice that, then the enemy can't hedge you up and bind you up in a place to where you're caught up in resentment and so many things that keep you from God's very best. Now let me say this. Also, this is a part of it. You need to forgive yourself. If you have been forgiven, not only you need to forgive, but you need to forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. I know someone that had a period of 2 years to forgive themselves for something they had done. They couldn't forgive themselves. I remember on one occasion with a family member, I was on the golf course playing 18 holes of golf, and we were moving along. And this person sitting next to me, when they would make a mistake, I tell you, they just let loose with such criticism and with such accusation. Against who? Against themselves. How in the world? Even calling themselves a dummy. You dummy, how did you do that? How did you swing the ball that way? Or swing the club to hit the ball that way? How did you do that? How could you do it? So, you know, we have trouble forgiving ourselves for things that we have done. But understand that the blood of Jesus and forgiveness of God covers all of that. Brother Jimmy, would you come in invitation? I want you this morning to think about this. You are forgiven. You are forgiven. If you're here, or if you're listening to Facebook Live or Sermon Audio, and you have not received the forgiveness of Jesus, it's available to you right where you are. Confess your sins, ask forgiveness, ask Jesus to come into your heart. He will do that. And then I say to you, if you're here and have not forgiven others and have not forgiven yourselves, take it to heart. You can't carry those feelings around. Think about what Jesus did on the cross. Brother Jesus.
He paid a debt. Let's all stand. He did not owe a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Let's do the second verse. He paid that debt at Calvary.
He paid a debt you could never pay. You see, that's not something you could work out. He had to work it out for you. And I'll tell you, someone that's hurt you, they can't work that out like you can work it out. You can work it out with them. You can work it out through giving them forgiveness and pardon and turning loose of resentment. So I challenge you this morning, in the light of the shadow of the cross, forgive as you have been forgiven. Please practice forgiveness. Bow your heads with me as we close in prayer. Father, I